It is wonderful to be home at Heart Cry today. This is a blessing, a privilege, an honor. And I'm not typically late for anything. I was in an accident right outside the villas, and there was I couldn't speak Spanish. So I don't really know what they were saying, but they were bummed up, hurt pretty bad, and bleeding out. So I had to stay until the ambulance got there and pull away. So I know I made Pastor nervous as Mike Tyson at a spelling bee. I don't know where that come from, but that was just too right to be wrong. I pulled up, heard the music. I said, he's going to kill me. I'm never late. Love you guys today. Thank you for being here. I've been wanting a packed house, and here she is. So let's roll with it today. For those of you, amen, that have never been in service with me, you're safe. Amen. I'm in submission to Brother Leonard. And pray today, amen, you'll just take the brakes off, tear the walls down, open up the front door, and let's open up for business this morning, see what God's going to say and do. It's pretty cool because Pastor and I don't compare notes. We don't communicate a lot before I get here in the aspect of what each other is doing or preaching. There are often times that I'm traveling, and there'll be an hour difference between where I'm at and here, and I'll pull you guys up and watch the early service on my way to minister, and I catch a little bit of what's going on here. But it's been pretty cool because he's been doing for quite a while now a series on the compromising church, the lukewarm church, and ultimately the dead church, for which none of those three corporately speak of Heart Cry. There are individuals in this room who are living a life of compromise. There are other individuals in this room. You've allowed compromise to lead you to lukewarmness. And there's others of you in this room, you're flirting with spiritual death. So here I come along, and he always wants to know book, chapter, and verse so we can get everything ready and put it on the screen, get all the T's crossed and I's dotted. It's cool. So I sent him what I was going to minister, and I've been working on this for a little while. And this lines up. I mean, the timing could not have been better. Today I want to talk to you about the secret with walking with God, because if you'll walk with God, you won't be a compromiser. You won't be so lukewarm you make God sick. And you don't end up, amen, in a graveyard full of dead bones. So let's learn to walk with God. It's one thing to talk about God, hang around people of God, visit the house of God, but are you walking with God? So I want to give you the secret today. You think you already know what it is, but I hadn't preached yet. All right? You know me. I'm going to come in the back door some way or another, right? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5 this morning. I've got one verse I've never preached on a day in my life. I have read the Bible through many times. But this is one passage that's always been intriguing to me, but one I've never tackled. And it's a very short verse, but I'm going to be my leadoff verse today. I pray to be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. When you found that, it's customary for me to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. In a country, amen, that calls evil good and good evil, amen, I think it's time, amen, we give respect, amen, to the word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5 tells us that every word of God is pure. So I think we ought to stand for purity. Amen? Genesis 5:24 says this, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Boy, that's the way I want to go. Anybody with me? Huh? I said, that's the way I want to go. All right, sit down and buckle up. In Alabama, we call this a humdinger of a word. All right? And by the way, amen, we need to pray for Rudy. Rudy needs to learn to behave. Amen? He's really been on our nerves lately. Seriously. So good to see you today, my brother. We're preparing for a festival and didn't have to prepare for a funeral. You are an asset to this ministry. Pastor, I just appreciate, amen, every opportunity I get to come home. Let this bless you today. In my strongest opinion, I believe the greatest achievement a Christian could ever have is to walk with God every second of their life. Not in a fashion of lukewarmness or compromise. Intimacy is the key that prevents us from becoming such. There is absolutely no higher calling on earth than to walk with God, understand his will for your lives, and then carry that thing out each day in full display. It should be our highest priority to hear those words at the end of our journey, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you don't hear those words, my friend, at the end of your journey, then you totally miss the will of God for your life, and it all started by refusing to walk with him daily. So today I wish to introduce to you the secret to walking with God. Let's go to work. May I begin by saying that you will never ever know the will of God by avoiding God. Let me say it again. You'll never ever know the will of God and the purpose of God by avoiding God. Time is essence to knowing what His purpose and His plan is for your life. There is not a human on earth or a circumstance or a situation that could come my way that would ever convince me that I'm not in my calling, being a full-time evangelist. My job as an evangelist is to kick butt and take names. Come on, amen. I come in town and we don't vote on nothing, amen. Deacons and are pretty useless to an evangelist, amen. Well, I don't have time for votes. Come on, amen. I don't have time for opinions. I need to know the mind of God, the will of God, and be able to display the word of God in a fashion that's effective. So my job as an evangelist is to get you out of Egypt. Pastor's job is to get you to the promised land. You see the difference in those two offices? And though we preach from a different perspective, like a stained glass window that is green and yellow and blue and orange and red, and we're reflecting the same sunlight. Does that make sense? So that's why he has a fivefold office, is we all operate in a different perspective. Pastor could take this one verse, amen, and he'll come at it from a total different direction. But our feet will land on the same ground because our objective is the same. So in this, I want you to know today, amen, that I have found the will of God, the purpose of God for my life. And when you find that and you open up for business and you're willing to walk in that each day, you find the favor of God. I'm only on this platform because of the favor of God. It's not my abilities. It's not my skill sets. Pastor, amen, and this church could have anybody they wanted that could run circles around this guy. So why am I here? Favor. Somewhere along the line, amen, God picked me out of the lineup, put my feet in heart cry. And from there, amen, this relationship has been built for years. I want to say today that we have to take the time right out of the gate to understand what is required to even know the will of God. What does the process look like and how do I achieve that ability? First of all, let me begin by saying today, it's important to walk with God. The phrase walked with God refers to the concept of living out your life in a way that is visible and impactful to others, making one's actions a living sermon that daily aligns with God's word so that others can observe and learn from your walk with God. Walking with God emphasizes the importance of aligning your behavior with Bible and demonstrating Christian values through daily actions rather than just mere words and religious activity on the first service of Sunday morning. Walking with God means that Jesus Christ is your guiding force in your everyday life, influencing your every decision and your overall conduct. Is this good, guys? Come on. When Christians walk with God, I didn't talk about just go to church. I'm so sick of religion, I could puke. Because for some of you, I tell you what religion has done for you. Religion has placed your relationship with God and characterized it in nothing more than church attendance. I go to church, so I'm a Christian. I got a Bible, I'm a Christian. I went to an altar, I'm born again. But your lifestyle doesn't reflect that. You see, when a woman is pregnant, she can only hide her pregnancy for so long. You can wear a bigger dress. You can gain weight. You can try to camouflage that pregnancy all you want to, but there's going to come a time in that 9-month period you're going to learn the wobble. Huh? Your appetites will change. Sister Wendy, amen, she went from eating a carnivore, amen, to when she got pregnant, all she wanted was cottage cheese and dill pickles, and that is no lie. Her appetite changed. Her walk changed. Her sleeping habits changed. Her hormones changed. Her identity changed. She started looking different. She had a glow that she didn't have when she was barren. And the reality of all that is, friend, when you tell me that you're pregnant, born again, and yet it's been 15 years and we still don't see the outward manifestation of an inward dwelling, then one of three things has happened. You never were pregnant to begin with. You miscarried. Or due to your own rebellion, you aborted it. And the reality of it is, amen, is we've allowed ourselves to get into a place where church alone is our relationship with God. Therefore, that's why he has to come along and preach on compromise, lukewarmness, death. Walking with God means, I'm going to say it again,
that Jesus Christ is your guiding force in everyday life, influencing your every decision and overall conduct. I'll quit teaching in the morning and preach in a minute. When Christians walk with God, their lives become a powerful testimony, potentially inspiring others to either deepen their own faith or surrender their lives altogether to Christ. All God ever wanted, Pastor Leonard, was for us to walk with him. That's exactly right. He said he might send them out to teach and preach and be missionaries and travel, but first of all, he said, I want you to be with me. God's not interested in weekend visitations. He still wants full custody. He's not interested in you just dating him. He wants you to wear the ring of commitment. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's a loving father. And if we're not careful, we'll neglect him to our own peril. We'll forget that he wants a relationship with us and not just religious experiences on the weekend. And if that bothered you, it was for you. You still love me, don't you? Huh? Well, somebody needs to notify their face how happy they are, because you're really fooling the rest of us. You ain't bothering me, baby. I came to town to feed sheep, not wrestle goats. Hey, the first time we find the word walk mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis. And Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I found this the other day, and this wrecked me, Christina. This blessed my life, man. You're talking about setting me free from so many areas and so much baggage that I have drug along my entire journey with God. This right here, amen, set me free. I hope it does the same for every one of you. And Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Here, even at the very beginning of it all, Miss Karen, God was looking for one single thing. And that was for Adam to walk with him. And the amazing thing that blows my mind, church, is that this was in the third chapter, not the first chapter. After Adam had sinned, that God came looking for him. Not in chapter one when he was squeaky clean. Adam, the one that just brought about the fall of man. Adam, the one who just ushered in sin and death. Adam, the one who just blew up and destroyed God's divine plan. Adam, the one who just finished bringing a curse on all humanity. Adam, the one that just sent his only begotten son to the cross to be executed. And even still, all that he had done wrong, despite his failure, despite his rebellion, despite his fall from grace, God wanted Adam to walk with him even after he messed everything up. After all the hardship he had just caused and the death and carnage he just instituted on mankind, God still came looking for Adam, because he wanted to walk with him. Whew. You want to know what broke me a while ago? In the mighty name of Jesus, I was locked up 2 weeks ago in a, not jail. I was locked up 2 weeks ago in a place where I had no cell phone service. I had barely any internet service. It was a little cabin down by the brook in the bottom of the mountains. The pastor had put me there. It was such a beautiful place. It was a little log cabin cottage. Had a little creek running down beside me, man. It was just so tranquil, and I was just so away from society and civilization and just out there. And I had just enough internet. One night I came in. I was trying to wind down. I was getting ready for bed, and I pulled up TikTok, and there was a guy on there doing a guitar, an instrumental that kind of caught my attention. I'm a musician. Boy, I have fell in love with this sax player around here. Where in God's name has he been our whole life? Man, is that not a cherry on a cream? Come on, hello. Fantastic, boy. And I've never heard a sax with that particular song. So that song, in the mighty name of Jesus, has wrecked me lately. And it's all I listen to. I got it, my phone's on repeat. I listen to it taking a shower this morning. I listen to it fixing my hair. It takes a while. I listen to it, amen, on my way here. And then I walk in here, and it's the first time I've ever heard somebody do it live. And it just wrecked me. And it wrecked me because of God's grace and his love and his mercy. That sometimes I cut myself short because all I see is my failures and my flaws and my pains and my heartaches. And I feel like I'm too high maintenance for God. And I feel like often I'm out of place. And I feel like my timing could be better. My walk could be better. And yet in the mighty name of Jesus, he comes out of nowhere where there's no cell phone service, barely any internet service. And he finds me down in a log cabin by a creek and invites me for a week and a half, I'm telling you, friend, I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to know, amen, that I'm his own. And you should as well. For those of you that are just content, 10 minutes of this, 15 minutes of that, a 30-minute message, amen, hit the back door, I pity you, friend. Why have you settled for an Ishmael when you could have an Isaac? But it all comes back to walking with God. I'm here to tell you and announce this morning, it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do, how far you have strayed, no matter the sin you've committed, no matter how deep, amen, in the world you've allowed yourself to sink, amen, I'm here to tell you, if you'll repent and get right with God, the Father still seeks for you to come back home, repent of your decisions, walk with him and talk with him. God is not in the business of abandoning his kids, no matter how far you have strayed. Never. People will, won't they, Pastor? Yeah, they'll kiss you today and flip you off tomorrow evening, just get in the parking spot at Walmart. Come on, hello. Be careful, because that's where some of you are headed when you leave today. I know it. Huh? I'm going to be watching you. I got to make a stop there myself. Amen. Years ago, I heard a story about a young man who had graduated from college. I think I've shared this story here before, but it fits good. And it was his first big job. Back in the mid-80s, when IBM was big time, he was landed his first job, six figures. So he gets in his office, and he hangs all of his plaques and diplomas and certificates and accomplishments and pictures of the family all over his office wall, sets down at a big, fine, amen, maple desk and a big leather studded chair, and picks the phone up, man. He really knows he's hit the big league now, and all of his years of college and study is prepared and has paid off. And IBM had hired him on to do business disc or business deals, amen, risk deals for the company. And that's back when IBM was really big. And so IBM, amen, hired him on. His first day on the job, he picks the phone up, calls his wife, and tells his wife what his office looks like and how awesome it's going to be and how wonderful it is. And he says, you know, let me hang this phone up and impress this guy and let him know, amen, he hired the right one. And his arrogance and his ego, amen, of thinking that because of his skill set alone is why he landed where he was at, amen, he wound up making his first deal. And within 10 minutes, the computer just lit up, flashing red warning signs. And in his first business deal for IBM, he lost $10 million. That's how he felt. He picked his phone up. He called his wife. He knew what was fixing to happen. In the midst of that phone call, his another phone rang, and it was CEO of IBM, Tom Watson. And Tom Watson said, I want to see you in my office in 15 minutes. So the young man gets up and takes everything off the wall that he had just hung and sat down and wrote a letter of resignation. Early on in his career, he didn't want a firing on his resume. So he went to Tom's office, bawling like a baby, knocked on the door. Door opened up. He walked in, knowing what was fixing to happen. I mean, he just lost $10 million. You can't blame the boss for doing what he's fixing to do. You know, if he lost $10 million today, what's he going to lose tomorrow, right? So as he walks in there and sits down at the desk there, he said, Mr. Watson, before you can fire me, if you would, give me the honor to just quit, sir, if you would, please. That's all I'm asking. And he slid a letter of resignation across the desk. When he did, Tom picked it up and read only just a piece of it, wadded it up and throwed it in the garbage, and sat up from his seat and said, what do you mean you quit? The young man looked up at him and said, well, sir, the reason you called me here was to fire me. I can't blame you for doing that. I mean, I just lost $10 million. You sure didn't call me in here to congratulate me and promote me. Tom Watson looked him dead in the eyes. He said, you got a lot to learn about me, son. He said, I'm not just a CEO, he said, but I'm also your caretaker. And what you need to know about me is I can't fire you. I just spent $10 million educating you, and now I've got too much in you to let you go. What a God. Somebody shout, what a God in this house. That's exactly right, guys. What a God. I heard recently about a lady in Tennessee in her 90s that walks 1 mile every day. You know why she's walking? She's got an upcoming appointment with a doctor that's going to check the condition of her heart. Nobody knows whether she's walking or not each day. Nobody's at the mailbox, amen, checking it off, amen. And the reality of it is, amen, all the doctor knows is she's got an upcoming appointment. Nobody's keeping a tally each morning when she leaves the house and returns. But when the doctor checks her heart, if she's been walking daily, it will be reflected by the condition of it. One day every one of us will have an appointment with the great physician. And you think nobody's keeping tally? He is. And you really don't have to keep up with it daily, though he does. Not one sparrow falls without his knowledge. Not one outer word goes unrecorded. He keeps up with Pluto's, Mars, Saturn, amen, and even Elon. Come on, hello, amen. And the reality of it is, amen, he's not just going to be interested in what we did on Sunday or in chapel service. He's not just going to be interested in how many songs we sang, amen. He's going to be interested in the condition of our heart and what we did daily to keep it healthy. Because if we walk with him daily, it will be reflected in the condition of our hearts. He wants to walk with us before he wants to work through us. As long as Peter walked with Christ, he was bold as a lion. But he always got in trouble when he started, amen, following from afar off. That's where you find him cussing. That's where you find him cutting ears off. That's where you find him lying and denying that he don't know who Jesus is. That's where you find him off the chain. That's where he winds up, amen. I'm telling you guys, amen, it's not just about coming to church and attending Heart Cry Chapel. It's not about just an experience on Sunday or a one-time event 15 years ago at an altar. It's about walking with them daily. It's about a relationship. It's about the condition of our hearts in his church. There's something about walking with somebody that builds a bond that's essential to a relationship. I'm acquainted with most of you in this room. But there's only a couple of you in here that I have relationship with. You know my address. You know my temperament. You don't just know my wife. You know her really well. You know our ministry. You know what makes me tick. Amen. It took time to get to that place, to build trust and build values and tear down walls and be able to confide in each other without feeling like one's going to go run their mouth and tear one another down. Hey, man, that takes time to do that, guys. And that's one of the biggest things that's lacking in this house right now is so many of you are missing that daily time alone with God. You come to church, you're good moral people. Hey, man, you're not using God's name in vain. You're not drinking Jägermeister and lemon shots. Hey, man, you're not running around, hey, man, with a bump here and bump there. You're not whoremonging. You ain't got porn on your phone. But at the same time, amen, amen, you're not intimate with him. You don't know nothing about a bubble bath with Jesus. And I don't think that needs translated. I'll leave that right there. Hello. There's something about walking with someone that builds a bond. When Caleb, my son, was just 8 years old, I started not to put this in my notes. I took him into the woods one evening to scout for deer sign. I was holding his hand. He was brand new to the woods. Trying to be his protector, we walked up, and there was a snake. I left Caleb standing in the woods. I wished I hadn't have done that. But if I had it to do over, it'd probably be the same. I'm not proud of that being his father. But I had to protect myself. And sometimes that's just how quick people stop walking with the Lord. Am I right, Brother Miguel? That's what they do, man. First sign of danger, they're gone. First little bit of conflict in the church, they hit the road, go from bar hopping to church hopping. First time Satan tempts them with sex or alcohol, amen, they bail out. First time the devil hisses, boom, they're out of there. Can I tell you that it's hard for me to be impressed with the religion of someone that bails out of Heart Cry Chapel because of hurt feelings? You never had a relationship. You had religion. You wasn't walking with him. You were introverted spiritually. Let me tell you something else. We got too many prodigals in the church today, and I'm not blaming no one here for being a prodigal. I am speaking corporately. We got too many prodigals in the church today. You know what a prodigal really is? A prodigal is somebody who wants the father's stuff without the father. They want his stuff. They want his grace. They want their inheritance. They want the mercy. They want the love. They want the forgiveness. They want the compassion. Amen. They want all. They want the anointing. They want the prestige. They want the spotlight. They want the opportunity. They just don't want to walk with him. Whoa! Did I hit a nerve? Was it something I said? Come on, guys. Huh? Can I tell you that it's hard to be impressed with people like that? That's why the devil works so tirelessly to get us distracted. It's so that he can bring about a separation between us and the Father and bring a halt to the walk. Say that with me. A halt to the walk. There's a peace that comes from walking with God that you can't find any other place. Satan hates it when Heart Cry starts really walking with God. Pastor loves it. Devil hates it. He doesn't care about us shouting on Sunday. He doesn't care if you sing along with worship songs. Sing the mighty name of Jesus, amen, or you can't sing no more. Doesn't bother him. If we have a three-week revival around here, it's our walking with God that gets on his nerves. It's our walk with God that causes hell to go into a phase of insomnia. Amen. He'll do whatever he can to halt our walk with God. Peter Jenkins wrote a book called A Walk Across America. I dare you read it. What a book. Peter Jenkins talked about that he walked 5,000 miles across America. He carried a 70-pound backpack. It took him 5 years to get from San Diego, amen, to the other side. He walked through the Rocky Mountains. He walked through blizzards. He walked through the blazing sun in the desert. He was attacked by wild animals. He was snake bit by a rattlesnake. He was hit by a car. His dog got ran over and died by a semi. He was robbed 3 times. He got stabbed once. He was cussed out every day. You name it, this guy went through it while walking across America. They asked him once he arrived, was there anything that caused you to want to give up and quit? And if so, what was it? What was the one thing that tempted you to quit and give up? You think it would have been getting hit by a car. That'd been enough, amen, for me to call Wendy, amen, right? You think it would have been his dog getting killed. Now his best friend and companion, only companion he had, was gone. You would have thought it would have been the snake bite or getting robbed or even stabbed. But Peter Jenkins, watch this, guys, looked straight at the reporter and said, it was when I got sand in my shoes. Every time I'd get sand in my shoes, man, it would just, he said the greatest thing that almost caused him to stop his 5,000-mile walk was the sand in his shoes that continually irritated his feet. Those little tiny grains of sand. The further he walked, the more sand would irritate and hinder him. It wasn't anything huge. It was the little grains of sand. The same is true with our walk with God. It's not the big things that causes us to get out of alignment. It's not the big things that causes us to abandon his will and purpose. It's not the big things. No, you think it is, and attorneys will tell you so, and the judge will write off on it, and most pastors, amen, don't know how to even deal with it, but it's not the big things that provoke divorce. Honey, it didn't start with adultery. Let me tell you that right now. It started with sand in shoes. You didn't just blow up and leave the church and cause all this chaos on Facebook because somebody hurt your feelings. No, honey, you was dealing with sand in your shoes a long, long time. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Because everybody in this house has got a little sand in their shoes. Your pastor's got a little sand in his shoes. Your evangelist, amen, has got a little sand in his shoes. Because ain't none of us perfected in this house. And if you think you are, amen, we'd all love to watch you walk on water. Hello. The reality of it is room for improvement is the largest room in the world. It's the little things. It's not the bad doctor's report that causes people, amen, to walk with to stop walking with God. That's often when they start walking closer to God. It's when they get diagnosed with cancer and told they ain't got 6 months to live. It's when they go to a funeral home and bury a loved one and now they're alone and silence, amen, is worse than the diagnosis. Come on, hello. Amen, it's those little things, guys. Amen, it's not the death of a family member that causes us to fade from God's purpose. It's not the divorce. It's not the loss of your job. Amen, as bad as I hate to say it, it wasn't even Joe Biden. Come on. It's the little things that nobody sees. Trump ain't your problem, honey. The sand in your shoes is. Politics is not the problem, and I'm not getting on it. I'm just simply saying we always want to direct it towards somebody else and put the responsibility. That is called the Adamic nature. Adam blamed everybody too, except for looking at it and thinking, you know what? Hey, for the second service, I'm going to put a little sand in my shoes and I'm going to pour it out right there. Wouldn't that have been cool? Just imagine it happened. Moving on. Amen. The reality is you can't see sand in somebody's shoes. You see the irritation. You see the frustrations. You see the outburst. Boy, it's good today, man. I think this is the freest I've ever been at Heart Cry. You are so into this, man. This is so good, guys. Thank y'all. Somewhat make this easy to preach. Because some people don't like talking about the sand in their shoes. They don't mind talking about the sand in mine. They don't even mind doing it on Facebook. That's why I don't have Facebook anymore. I found out how many friends I don't have. Huh? You know what I did the day I deleted Zuckerberg? I said, save your drama for your mama. Amen. I got better mountains to climb. Huh? Yeah, you see sand. You can't see sand in my shoes. I can't see sand in your shoes. But it's the little things that get in our lives, Christina, honey, that hinders our walk. Pain, hurt, offenses that nobody sees. Disappointment, discouragement, worry and fear that nobody sees. Lust, lying, selfish ambitions that often everybody sees. Living for yourself, priorities out of alignment, whole life consumed with Snapchat, Facebook, TikTok, and overtime. After a while, it begins to grind and hinder our walk, doesn't it, guys? You want to know what's wrong with America? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America, honey. We've had sand in our shoes for way too long. We all want to deny we have anything to do with it. That's what's wrong with America. That's why there's so much road rage today. Everybody's hateful. Everybody's mean. Everybody's cruel. I mean, if you didn't vote for the person I voted for, you can't even come to my restaurant and eat. What's wrong with you, man? Are you kidding me? Listen, it's not the big things that happen to us every once in a while. It's the daily things. It's the daily worry and stresses of life that keep you awake and afraid, most of which never even comes to pass. Never, ever, ever happens. But yet, look at how much time the enemy brought a halt to our walk. Anything that affects your walk is important to God. It's important to your pastor, and it's definitely important to me. I don't care how little it is, bitterness, music, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, exes, job, friends, negative influences. Anything that affects your walk is important to God. Sand may be nothing but just small grains, but under enough pressure, it can rip the paint off a car. Anybody ever heard the term sandblasting? So let me say it again. Well, it's just a grain of sand, yeah? Put that grain under some pressure. Put that grain under pressure. You'll overdose. Put that grain under pressure. You lose your moral compass. Grains, they may be small. They may be little, but they have to be dealt with. Sand may be nothing but just small grains, but again, under enough pressure, sand can blast the paint off your car. So even little things must be dealt with. They can't go ignored. It's the little hurts, the little offenses, the little situations that happen to us. It begins to grind and bring a halt to our walk. The problem with little things is that people can't see how irritating and grinding it is against your soul. People can't see the sand in our spiritual shoes. People can see the big things, but the small stuff that wears on us daily or often goes unnoticed. Samson didn't get taken down by anything big. He could rip the gates off the hinges and carry them on his back. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Come on, guys. He tore a lion apart with his bare hands. Here's what got Samson. He laid his head down in the lap of Delilah. Now watch the key word in this verse. You've never ever seen this in here, so listen. And it came to pass when Delilah pressed on him, watch this, daily. King James, daily. Delilah pressed on him. What do you mean pressing on him? Yeah. A lot of it. Now he's tempted. He knows he couldn't do it. He shouldn't do it. He wasn't made to do it. But those eyes of blue, 5'2" and size 6 shoe every day. Yeah, isn't it funny? All the ladies are laughing, but there ain't one man laughing. Come on, guys. It's funny, and I'm trying my best to make this as lighthearted as I can, but at the same time, I don't want to lose the conviction of this. Pressed on him daily with her words, urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Started with compromise. Then he got lukewarm. Then he died. My God. It doesn't have to be a big temptation, like adultery or fentanyl. I know none of you are cooking meth in the garage. Come on, amen, hello? It's the little temptations that press on us daily. I'm here to tell you that little things matter to God. One of the things that just keeps pestering me mentally right now, I didn't even have it in my notes, but I keep thinking about, I'm worrying about what time I'm supposed to be done, Pastor. 10:15. What time am I, when I get done? All right, I see them pulling in, it's making me nervous. All right, so the reality of it is, I'll be done in just a second, I promise. The reality of that is that little things matter to God. So what keeps coming is that Zacchaeus, the Bible says that Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree
and he sought to see who Jesus was. Why did he climb up in a tree? Because he was little of stature. Who'd Jesus go home with that day? Zacchaeus. He's got time for little things. Little things matter to him. It was a little hill that brought about Mount Calvary. It was a little lamb that brought about our salvation. It was just a few little fish that fed 5,000. And then in another passage, 4,000 more. It was just little faith that moves a whole mountain. It's just a little sheep and a little sleep and a little slumber, rather, that brings about tremendous poverty. The tongue is a little member, but it's set on fire of hell. Causes such great devastation, yet it's so little. I could keep going. If we're not careful, we'll overlook the little things in our lives because they seem small and insignificant. So we end up ignoring the small stuff and divorcing what we think over the big stuff. King Agrippa, conviction was a little thing to him. Ananias and Sapphira told one little lie. Adam and Eve believed one little lie. Backsliders, they begin missing one little service. Churches die because people care too little. Matthew 18 says, little ones are also important to God. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So if little things matter to God, shouldn't little things matter to Heart Cry? It should matter to you, friend. If God cares this much about little things, shouldn't you and I? That devil will convince you to ignore what matters to God and then get you to focus, amen, on what God's already took care of. It's a lie from the pits of hell sent to disrupt and kill one thing, and that is your walk with God. He has one objective, and that is to halt your walk so you never discover the will of God and purpose for your life. So you spend your whole entire life making somebody else rich when you could have been an entrepreneur. God could have worked through you. You could have been a scholar. You could have been a dean in a college. You could have been a pastor. Amen. You could have been an evangelist traveling all over the world. Amen. You could have had great and tremendous impact on society, but you chose to compromise. You chose to live lukewarm, and now you're spiritually dead to the point you don't even know his will. And what's even worse than that, you're yawning while I'm preaching about how to discover it. Hello, friend, I'm telling you, in trouble. Come on, honey. It's not the big things that get us. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. I've always read that, but I never knew the custom behind that scripture. I looked it up. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you what it means. In ancient times, they built a wall around their vineyards to protect them. The big animals couldn't get in, but it was through small breaches in the wall, the smallest openings. That's where little foxes got in. Most folks guard their lives from the big sins, but it's the little compromises that gives us the slightest opening. And then causes us to become lukewarm. And eventually, if not took care of and repented of, we spiritually die. Jealousy, unforgiveness, offenses, doubt, envy, lust, lying, manipulation. It's the little things that hinder our walk. Little things that hinder our prayer time. Little things that hinder our time for a daily devotion. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to get sand off your feet? I mean, you live in Florida. Say amen. Y'all don't know nothing about dirt. Come on. Hello. Okay, most of you's never even seen red dirt, amen? The reality is this place is consumed with sand. Come on. You can wash sand off one foot, and it'll get back on it, amen, before you finish washing the other foot. If you ever get sand in your shoes, it's almost impossible to get all of it out. Here's the secret to walking with God. After the Passover supper, and I'm landing the plane here, Jesus taught his disciples one final lesson. Here's your answer today. It took me all day to get there, but here is the secret to walking with God. I think you'll find this beautiful. He must have taught them this lesson because it was important. He said, after he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. John 13:8 says, Peter saith to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me, Peter. Peter said, here's both of them. The secret to walking with God, you ready, Heart Cry? Is allowing every day Jesus to wash your feet. He told Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Are you catching that pitch, guys? This is serious business. So not walking with God is not a misdemeanor. It ends up being a felony. This is serious business here.
Well, you laugh about that because of the terminology, but I'm thinking a felony produces incarceration, right? You get locked up and abandoned feeling. The truth is, amen, it's the little things that separate us from the fellowship with the Lord. So in closing today, Jesus is saying to Heart Cry Chapel, bring me the little things this morning. Let me wash it away. Come spend some time with me daily. I'll remove your fears. I'll remove your anxieties. I'll take away the things that hinders your walk with me. Jesus is saying to us, bring your burden to me. Bring that spirit of compromise. Bring that spirit of lukewarmness. Quit, listen, there's no need in us preparing for a funeral, baby. It don't have to end that way. We can have a coming out party. Come on, guys. You don't have to die like that. It don't have to be spiritual death. It don't have to be marital death. It don't have to be emotional death. It don't have to be financial death. It don't have to be mental death. It don't have to be relational death. Hey, listen, what he's saying is bring it to me. Let me wash your fears away, your guilt away, your offenses away. Story of a champion walking horse. The owner of this horse put him in the horse trailer to transport him to the track to race. Trailer came undone from the truck. Ran down a steep ravine, killed the champion horse instantly. Why? He forgot to put the pin in the latch to lock the trailer onto the truck. It was just a little thing that killed the champion. Just a little thing. We ain't got no music. I don't want no altar call music at this moment. You guys can get in position if you want. We're fixing to do something different today. I hate routine. I'm not saying the church is in routine. I'm in routine often. I'm going to break my routine. There ain't a song playing in this house. This is the one service we live stream. The world is watching you. Every eye is on Heart Cry Chapel right now. Nobody's singing a song. No melody in the air. I'm going to count to 10. And I'm going to find out, amen, who wants to dump some sand out of shoes. And you're a foolish mindset if you sit there and wait on her to move, sir. You're supposed to be the leader of the home. Why don't you set the pace? Why don't you set the example? If what I'm saying is irritating you right now and I'm getting on your nerves, this message was ordained for you. You needed to hear this, whether you like it or not. It's not what you wanted to hear, but it's what we all need to hear. Else we end up, amen, compromising, living lukewarm, and end up in spiritual death.